Paul Williams is one of the most prolific and respected music creators in the world today. He has been writing music since the 60s, and in that period, his songs and scores have been nominated for 6 Oscars, 8 Grammys, 6 Golden Globes, and 2 Emmys. This week, Paul is in Ireland. He's with us in studio this evening. What brought you to Ireland in the first place, Paul?
Well, you know, my day job is I'm president and chairman of the board of ASCAP, which is the American Society of Composers, Authors, and Publishers. You have an amazing organization called IMRO, Irish Music Rights Organization. We're reciprocal arrangement. When we play their music, we collect them your music, we collect the money and send it to you, and vice versa. I'm in Ireland usually a couple times a year, and to meet with music creators to talk about the state of the music business, and okay, I admit it, play a little golf.
Okay. I also believe you were involved in a seminar, the title of which I found quite interesting, The Craft of Creating Hit Songs, because the two words that are in there, craft and creating.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting when we talked about it, that interesting balance. I think after a period of time, you do bring the craft as you develop your craft. But I think the reason the song, if I knew how to write a hit song, I would not be sitting here right now. I'd be home right trying, you know, to crank out another one. I think that songs work because of authenticity and honesty. You know, I've been writing codependent anthems my entire life. My songs were, I was this little guy that couldn't get a date, and I was writing Ouch Mommy songs, you know, Pick Me Up and Love Me. So I put what I really felt in the songs, and it turned out other people felt what I did. You know,
We've Only Just Begun. Was that an Ouch Mommy song?
You know, We've Only Just Begun had all the romantic beginnings of a bank commercial. You know, Roger and I wrote that song as a bank commercial.
Roger
Nichols. And we finished the song out. Richard Carpenter called and asked if there was a complete version of the song. We said yes.
And this is what we got to hear eventually. Do you remember the first time, actually, because we were just saying as we were listening to it there, Paul Williams, the writer of that song, made famous by the Carpenters, Karen Carpenter. Do you remember the moment at which you thought, oh, this song will match Karen Carpenter's voice?
That never occurred to me. And any time I ever would write a song, it's like I wrote Old Fashioned Love Song. I knew it was perfect for the Carpenters. I played it for the Carpenters. I don't think Richard listened to it past the first verse. I sent it to Three Dog Night. They liked it. So the thing that's interesting about We've Only Just Begun is the fact that, I mean, that was the number one record at a time when you couldn't get any further away from what hit records sounded like. The number one album in the country at that time was Inagada De Vida, you know, and yet this amazing, you know, the Carpenters were essentially alternative when you look back at it. They did something very, very different, and it worked.
And what about that for you then as a songwriter? You know, are there songs that disappear because they just don't find the right singer?
Well, the ones that, these brilliant songs that are, you know, when you write from the heart, the people seem to relate. Then you have a little success, the ego takes over, then you try to write something really bright, and you write from the head instead of the heart. And I've got drawers full of songs that are just, I thought, well, these are money in the bank. Let's go look at cars. Nobody would listen to them all the way through, you know. So you never know. I think that my advice to the young writer is always don't, you know, I tried to be David Bowie. It didn't work. There was already somebody really good at being David Bowie. Oddly enough, on his Hunky Dory album, I wrote a song that was recorded by Tiny Tim that David Bowie found and recorded on the Hunky Dory album, first outside song he ever recorded. I got to wind up doing something that was outside of my world by writing something inside my world. Be authentic.
You actually started out, Paul, am I right in saying that acting was the first love?
I wanted to be anybody but Paul Williams. You know, I played kids. I did a movie called The Loved One. I was in a movie called The Chase, worked 3 months on that with Marlon Brando, Robert Redford, this huge cast and all. I looked like a kid until you put me next to a real kid, then I looked like a kid with a hangover. It was just, you know, I was hard to cast. And I got so depressed, I started writing songs. In my life, no is a gift. If I don't get something that I really think I want, chances are I'm going to get something I really need.
When you say that you started writing the songs, you know, because you started to feel depressed, were the songs initially then a type of a therapy, a release? What were they?
I think that's the first, you know, that you know, and you're a creative guy. I mean, you sit there and you put this thing together and it sounds sparkling and fun and great conversation and all, but the fact is you know, you work at this, you have a creative spirit, and you put your art together. It's something that I think the first real gift of the creative work of any sort is you get to know yourself a little better, and you have a place to put these emotions. You know, it's like, God, I was feeling so much, and guys don't talk about these things all the time, but, you know, you can sit down and sing it. And I can sing, when there's no getting over that rainbow, when my smallest of dreams won't come true, I can take all the madness the world has to give, but I won't last a day without you. And that's just not something that I'd say to somebody. I'd think it, but I can sing it.
So in the persona of the singer and the songwriter, you can say much more.
I can say what you want, you know. And the thing is that you have two sources of, you know, the inspiration, God knows where the ideas all come from. But a lot of it is, I think, what is bubbling under the surface in our own lives and all. But then the other thing is I will write music to words to somebody else's music. And when I'm listening to a beautiful piece of music, it inspire. I mean, I hear words in music. I don't know why. And you play, I'm going to hear, let me be the one you run to. And it, or there's
so the minute you hear you a melody happens, then the words come running into your mind.
It's exhausting. I'd love sometimes to just sit and listen to some music and not hear words in it. But it's like those people that sit at the United Nations and translate Russian to, you know, to another language, to Japanese or English to Swedish. The fact is that when I hear music,
you translate
it
into
words. In it, yeah.
We mentioned the acting career. You must have enjoyed hearing us talking about Planet of the Apes, because it was Virgil you played, wasn't it? Was that in the television series?
I recently tweeted a picture of it at my Twitter account is at the letter I, the letter M, Paul Williams. At I am Paul Williams. And I'll show you this. It's like this is my screensaver.
Oh, right. I'm now looking at the picture of Paul
Williams.
Picture
of me as Virgil. Yeah. That was 3.5 hours of makeup. And, you know, the new one is CGI.
Well, yes. They did this motion capture thing. Yeah.
I was VGI, which is vodka generated imagery. It was 3.5 hours of makeup and an amazing experience, because you're sitting next to John Huston or Roddy McDowall or Claude Akins, who played, you know, the evil gorilla. And it just.
How did Paul Williams, the guy who could express himself in songs and the guy who could express himself in music, when he put on the ape mask, which really, I mean, your eyes, your face is totally, they're practically invisible
gone,
to
yeah.
us.
And yet I look like myself. Yeah. It's very bizarre.
So
isn't
how did he express himself through that? Did you find that mask easier to express yourself?
Well,
through.
You had to do everything really large. You had, and most of the dialogue was replaced. You went in and looped most of your dialogue, because everything started like this. You've got all this rubber over your face, you know. But it was the one I did was directed by J. Lee Thompson. I thought it was a really good film.
This was Battle for the Planet of the Apes.
Battle for the Planet of the Apes, exactly.
And in terms of that makeup then, you mentioned that it was vodka-generated. You did have difficulties with drink at one stage.
Big time. I'm sober 24 years, and the world's a safer place. It's a huge part of my life, is talking about recovery. And it's interesting, because I'll go to, you know, various countries, cultures are a little different around. Whereas I'm really open about my recovery, and around the world, I'll sit down and talk about the fact that I'm a recovering alcoholic and cocaine addict. And people kind of are sometimes a little shocked. But the fact is that I misplaced a decade. You know, the 80s were gone. You know you're an alcoholic when you misplace a decade. So for me, when I did get sober, I've always had a connection with people through my songs. But when I got sober because I hit my knees and said, I don't know what I'm doing here. And I turned to people that were strangers and I said, I am lost. I'm dying. I don't know what to do. Will you help me? And they did.
Tell me about the collaboration with Daft Punk.
Oh, my God.
Because I think the lyrics here touch on everything you've been talking about there.
Touch, and I wrote two songs on the album. I sing Touch, which I wrote the lyric to. Then I wrote one called Beyond.
I have Touch here. So tell me a little bit about what was in your mind.
Well, you know, the two guys were big fans of Phantom of the Paradise, a movie I did in the 70s that even my family didn't go see. I mean, I made albums that they didn't buy and movies they didn't go see. But these two gentlemen from France loved Phantom of the Paradise. It's how they met. They saw it 20 times. They asked me if I would write this album with them, I'd work on it with them. The idea was basically we didn't know who the first person was, who the I was that's singing. Possibly it was somebody who had died and come back to life. Possibly it was a space traveler who had been cryogenically, you know, put to sleep and brought back. I think that we talked about the fact that in this world of social media, and we've all got our faces stuck in our iPhones, that there's a part of communication and touch that is missing.
Touch, performed by Paul Williams with Daft Punk. Before you head off, Paul, you might tell us a little bit about your upcoming book, Gratitude and Trust, which sounds like you're happy with where you are right now.
No, you know, it's amazing. You know, to win the Grammy for Album of the Year when you're 73 is just not something you expect. I'm 73. I'll be 74 in September. And I have a life that I couldn't have imagined. And, you know, I've always said that my choo-choo runs on twin rails of gratitude and trust. And my friend Tracy Jackson, who's a screenwriter, said, "What? You have this amazing life, this gift of recovery. Isn't there some way to share, you know, to the people that aren't addicts? Is it possible that, you know, that recovery is not just for addicts?" And I went, "Ooh, let's write about that. Let's create a bunch of affirmations, you know, that will give a plan for putting your life shiny side up if you have really bad habits that are destroying your life." And there's a lot of people that have confidence problems, shopping problems, porn, well, you name it. There's all sorts of little tunnels that people disappear into.
So these affirmations
to help them out. Yeah. And it's also a lot. It's got a lot of the story of my own recovery, and it's pretty funny. I mean, it's crap you do that is pretty funny sometimes.
It will be with us on September the 16th is when Paul Williams' book Gratitude and Trust will be out. And if you want to find out more, you can go to the website, which is gratitudeandtrust.com. You can also go to paulwilliamsofficial.com. Thank you for sharing everything with us this evening.
What a treat. Thank you.